Evening. Thank you for that selection of songs this evening and the good singing. It is good to know we have an eternal, secure, and unchanging home as we gather tonight in what might now be called the Untied States of America. But it's not what wasn't predicted, is it? I was going to continue on with the topic of, different sins this evening, and preachers, how they say sometimes your Bible just falls open. Well, my Bible fell open to Habakkuk this evening, and I had something totally different in mind, and I just happened to start reading Habakkuk chapter 1, and I went, wow. And then I, tried to keep studying, and I couldn't get my mind off of it. So if I don't fully convey my thoughts this evening, I didn't have a whole lot of time on this, but it is something. I saw a few things here that I think we do well to consider. And let's just read Habakkuk chapter 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder. This is now God speaking to Habakkuk. And wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land, to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the lepers, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. And then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. It's Habakkuk speaking again. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And make us men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, and they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is made fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you how it shows to us over and over again that you're in control of all the world, of all the nations, and of all things that go on. Lord, we come before you tonight seeking to learn of your word. Lord, help us to understand and to grow closer, that we might have the faith to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that caught my eye here is in the words of God himself, sometimes God does things that are hard to believe. Think about that. You've been there, haven't you? God didn't do that. No. Sometimes God does things that are hard to believe. And God said that here to man, knowing the heart of man. And in verse 5, he said, "Behold, ye among the brethren, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." He said, somebody can come and tell you, "Hey, God did this." You go, "No. No. Really?" And then it says what the work is, and that he would, in this portion, that he would raise up the Chaldeans, and they would do all these things. God told Israel that he would empower the Chaldeans, and they would come through. They would possess it. They would be a terrible and dreadful ruler. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. So they're going to judge however they wanted to judge. They were going to ruin things. They were going to take people away as captives. And then in verse 11, it says they would credit it all to their own God. All right, so think about it from an Israelite's perspective. God's chosen people serving God in form. At this point, obviously, that God was saying he was going to judge them, so they weren't serving him with their hearts, but they knew who their God was. And God says, "I am going to empower the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty and terrible and dreadful nation. And they're going to come and do all these things, and they're going to give their gods credit. And you're going to say, God didn't do that. But God is saying that, I'm telling you ahead of time, I did it. And I'm doing it." Israelites would say, surely this is not of God. How many times do we say the same thing? This is what... This chapter is really relatable in so many ways. First of all, how many times do we say, surely this can't be of God? Surely these personal trials I'm going through can't be of God. Surely this nation that God has blessed for so long, there's judgment in this nation and all that, but surely we can't just be split down the middle. I mean, this unheard of in the longest of time. And last time it happened, there wasn't the communication. There wasn't, you know, they were nearly back in the dark ages. There's a lot of Christians wondering right now, what is going on in our country? I'm not surprised the election was split. And I think most people here in this room aren't either. But at the same time, I think a lot of us are wondering, okay, maybe you're wondering, whose side is God on? Maybe you're wondering, what's the right outcome? Maybe you're wondering, okay, America is in such a mess that maybe God's done what he said of Israel a couple times of just take his hands off and let them wander their own way until they fall into a ditch. And we've got all these maybes floating around in the Christian minds. But most of them have this little clause in there saying, surely this is not of God. You see what I'm saying? Do you believe that maybe God split the election? Is that a thought that you're willing to entertain? I would say, this is my estimation, I would say we're still in verses 3 and 4. 3 being the position of a lot of Christians that have a walk with God and don't really why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance or spoiling and violence are before me? And there are that raise up strife and contention. Does that sound familiar to this last year? God, why? We see it. Why are you showing it to us? What's going on? Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. See, it's great that we've got a bunch more conservative judges in place, but did that fix the judicial system? You hear more complaints about the confusion and the problems in the judicial system now than ever. You know, it's compounding. The law is slacked, and judgment doesn't ever go forth. We've just gone through a year where people are saying, get rid of the police. And the police are saying, okay, we're not going to put on the uniform today because, you know, a few months ago, one of us might get shot a year. Now, one of us might get shot a day. It's changed. And so instead of beefing it up, they slack back. Judgment doesn't go forth. Again, you look at the protests that went out, and the people who were prosecuted were unoffending parties. We're the victims. You know most of them, but the trucker in Maine who slowly drove through a protest that they were trying to stop his truck, and they yanked him out of the truck, and he got charged. The folks in Salem that got charged for gun possession and lost all their gun rights because they simply sat in their front yard while the protesters threatened them with death, and they had no response, just sat there with their guns on. And they're the ones charged. The black guy in Astoria who got beat up by a BLM protest, and then he got charged because he happened to be walking down that street with a MAGA hat on. You scratch your head and you go, where's the judgment? Where's the law? Where's the order? Where's the righteousness? Why is the wrong judgment proceeding? And I don't think we've seen the end of that yet. In this passage, as with other passages, we see there's a condition of the nation. There's a how things are going on. And God says, don't quit looking at your surroundings. Look at the other nation. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And then he proceeds to tell them, you guys are about to be decimated. Absolutely decimated. You're thinking, Brother Jared, I don't like where this is going. Well, you know what? I don't either. But I want you to notice some things as the passage develops here tonight. I'm not saying that this is a prophecy for us today, okay? I'm not saying that we're about to be decimated. I want you to look at the lessons that God is trying to teach Israel in this passage, because they were about to be decimated. And there's some lessons for the believers here. Verses 3 and 4 are back up to verse 2 as well. It's the precursor to judgment. Habakkuk's prayer in verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? This is the precursor to judgment. But God's response to Habakkuk is the judgment is going to look worse to the believer, not better. Okay? To the believer, the judgment is going to look worse. It's going to look less spiritual than the problem did to begin with. God says, I will empower the Chaldeans to come in, decimate you all, and I will be the one giving them the power, and then they'll say, oh, it was our gods that did it. And you're going to be sitting there going, why? And some of you, as you go on through Habakkuk, some of you will probably think, well, maybe their gods did have some power after all. That people's faith in Jehovah God would be decimated as well. Because God knows the heart. He says, you won't believe. I don't believe he's saying that to Habakkuk. He's saying it through Habakkuk. He says, you won't believe that I did this, though it were told you. Habakkuk was to share this with Israel. And of course, the only ones who were listening were the believers. Were those who still served. But they were about to be challenged. And Habakkuk was also shaken by this. In verse 12, Habakkuk answers God and says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? And he finds some reassurance. He says, we shall not die, O Lord. He understands what God's about to do, or what God says he's about to do. He understands that much. That, okay, God says he's going to do this. And that's scary. The Chaldeans are not a small nation. And everything God says about them is already proven true in other places. So they're going to come here next. And God, you're not only going to let them, but you're going to empower them against us? But Habakkuk's response begins with a praise, a reassurance. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God? My Holy One, we shall not die. Think about that. Whatever your questions are right now, think about that. God, aren't you from everlasting? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one that is outside of time, who holds all the earth in his hand. Oh Lord, you're my God. You're my Holy One. Because of that, we shall not die. And I think we can take that a step further. We shall not die, period. We have the promise. Our bodies may die, but we will never, never die. We have eternal life. It doesn't matter how horrible it gets down here. It doesn't matter if the riots come to any of our little towns and start burning things down. It doesn't matter if there's civil war. There's scary thoughts, the scary things being thrown around. But ultimately, it really doesn't matter. Because we won't die. If you have faith in Christ, you have eternal life. It may be hard times. It will be hard times, but they're but for a moment because God is from and through everlasting. Then Habakkuk says, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. Again, he's giving God credit. And O Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. He says, okay, God, if that's what you want, then I believe you. I'll give you the credit I can see that you have power over all the other gods. If you've established them, if you've ordained them and given them the power to do this, that's your call. But then Habakkuk starts to think. Sometimes that's a problem for us people. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore? Oops. He started thinking back in the human realm. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? You notice how quickly he flipped right back to his initial prayer? God just told him, Habakkuk, tell the people, tell the believers, tell my children, I'm about to judge the land. Don't be afraid. Yes, everything is going to be horrible down there because I will judge the land. And you're not going to be able to process the full scope of that judgment because it's going to be awful. But the judgment for sin is awful. And Habakkuk says, okay, God, you're holy, you're mighty, you've ordained it, you can do it. You can judge the evil. Wait a minute, God. Man, it's so evil around me. I just don't know how you haven't judged this evil already. See, he goes right back to what he can see right now. He gets reassurance for a moment. God, I'm not going to die because you're in control. I have eternal life because you're in control. I have strength and peace in my heart because you're in control. Wait a minute, God. Why are all these bad guys allowed to run free? What's going on? And he goes right back into that. And then the verses 14 through 17, he's talking again about the Israelites. He says, look at how wicked they are, God. They're devouring anybody who claims to be more righteous than they are. They're fishing for men. They're catching them. They're taking them up. They're destroying them just to fatten their own portions so that they have gain. Shall they not spare continually? Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? It's going to keep going. What's going on, God? He goes right back into some doubt here. And again, we see the believer of today. There's sin all around us. We need you to fix the problem. And we learn about God's judgments, his righteousness, his holiness. And we begin to praise God for a few moments. And then we start looking around us again and we say, God, why aren't you doing anything about it? And then we see those things and we begin to doubt God. Oh, God, surely you're not in control of this. I mean, people are just, they're insane out there. Everything's going, I don't understand how this can be allowed. God, you said that you can't, as Habakkuk said, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. How can you watch these people do this? How can you watch the blatant sin that's repeatedly allowed and promoted in our nation? Personally, I'm really saddened that all the drug measures in Oregon were voted in. All of them. Some of them by a thin margin, but they're all in there. So our state is not only as liberal as all get out, but now we're going to start handing out drugs like candy, paying for it with government money. And we look at stuff like that and say, God, did you notice? Surely, can that go on? We see, just like Habakkuk, he had some doubts when he got back to looking at his surroundings. God, if you're really going to judge, why isn't it happening? Doubt often clouds our minds between sins and judgment. Doubt often clouds our minds between sins and judgment. It's interesting because he goes back to Israel, talking, God's holding his tongue while the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he, and then so on about the parallel with the fisherman. When God just said, I'm speaking judgment, and Habakkuk said, you're holding your tongue. But he gets it confused, as he says in verse 17, they're going to slay the nations. God just told them the nations were coming to slay them. Their sin was, they were at the end of their rope, so to speak. What I'm trying to get across here is when we get caught up at just looking around, and we get caught up in doubt that God's actually doing something, that God's still in control, we miss what God's actually doing and what God's trying to speak to us, to the individual, to the believer. It's that same spirit which would increase in its questions as the Chaldeans came in, worshiping their gods and wreaking destruction and havoc. It's that same spirit that would say, man, it just got worse. It's evil upon evil. Doesn't God notice? But God says judgment often looks worse to the believer, not better. And he warned about that. In chapter 2, God answers again. It's interesting. In verse 1, Habakkuk begins his next prayer with, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk's heart is wonderful here. He knows he needs reproved. He knows he's having a problem with doubt. And he says, God, I'm going to stand here until you correct me. That's the spirit of a true believer. All right, that's the spirit of someone who really believes that God knows what he's doing. God, I've got a problem. I cannot discern what you're doing, and I'm having some doubts. Correct me. Correct me. You notice in chapter 1, Habakkuk started out, God, correct this nation, straighten them out, smack them around. And then he says, God, I'm having some doubts that you're doing that. Correct me. Reprove me. And the Lord answered me. You know, God talks to us when we ask him to correct us. He said, the Bible tells us he dwells with those who are of a broken and a contrite spirit. He lifts up the contrite. He heals the brokenhearted. he would rather obedience than sacrifice. God wants to see his children say, God, I can't see it all, but you can. Correct me. So what's God's answer? The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Think about that. God's warning him. He says, write down what I've just told you so that people can run away. Think about that. Why does God want somebody to run away from his judgment? I want you to notice again, God's telling Habakkuk about the heart of man. He says, I'm going to work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And then after he tells him that work, he says, write it down plain so people can see it, so that they will run away. That he may run that readeth it. For the vision is not yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. There's the answer. I think, again, that's something we saw this year when so many of these things hit and churches emptied out willingly. Now, I understand about safety measures. I understand about those who didn't know what to do. But as I've mentioned before, I know people who said right off the bat, oh, let's not do church for a while. Of all the things that they checked off their list, church was the first one to go. That's what really ate me up. And that's the heart that God is talking about here. He says, here's the judgment. And those who are lifted up in their soul but not upright, they'll run away. In the New Testament, Jesus told us in the end that the angels would be separating the wheat from the chaff. And you look through history, and any time a nation faces persecution, all the fake ones run away. And God says, but the just shall live by his faith. All the fake ones run away. They always do. They always will. And God even tells them that they're going to do that. And even tells them, here's my word. Quick, run away. Because I'm coming with judgment. Now, in that, they obviously have a choice to repent. But I find it interesting in this passage, but others also, God says, I'm coming. You're not mine. Start running. You're upright in your own heart. You're not upright before me. In the judgment, the Bible tells us that many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things I did in your name. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. There's, especially in our country, there's going to be a lot that stand before the throne and say those words. But the reason there's these warnings is for them and us and anyone else who reads them to think that judgment's coming. Either I'll be oblivious and decimated with the rest of them, or now I've seen it, I better start running and hiding and trying to figure out my own means. Or the just shall live by his faith. That's a personal faith, isn't it? By his faith. This verse doesn't say the just shall live by faith as a whole. So by his faith. God says you want to make it through times where you have doubt, where you have questions about what's God doing. Surely God is not involved in that. Surely God's hand is not directing that. Surely God's not taking me through this time. I just wandered off the path a little bit. I got to find it again. Now, God says the just shall live by his faith. It's when we've personalized, grounded ourselves in faith in God. You can't get anywhere with God on your parents' faith. You can't get anywhere with God on your church's faith. Seriously, you can't get anywhere with God because other people think you're a good Christian. Just because you have a reputation to uphold does not actually mean you have a testimony that you are upholding. But if you're upholding your faith, you will live by it. As Habakkuk said, "Thou art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die." That's the just, those that live by faith. Now, God's predictions against Israel at that time go on through the book. One more thought on these few verses in chapter 2. God's not challenging those who say they believe in Him. He's encouraging them. He says, write it down. The other people will run. But those who believe in me, they can stand with me. He's not challenging him. Hey, I'm going to write this, throw it in your face, see if you run or not. God already knows if you're going to run or not. Other people don't. But God already knows. He makes a statement, a declaration of the power of faith. And he encourages the believer in it. He says, your faith means you'll be looking at me and I'll be with you. Whatever times I take you through, I'll be with you. You know, I don't really know. You can apply it to what's going on this week any way you want. I apply it to life as a whole, and I believe the Lord's coming back soon. I believe that He's going to take us out before the tribulation. We won't have to have our faith tested in those times. But on the same hand, there's no guarantee that our nation won't crumble around us and we won't face persecution here. In fact, there's a lot in the New Testament that tells us that we've got off easy. Jesus said, if we love Him, the world hates us. Oh, well, we're hearing increasing hate, but not like the disciples faced. We're seeing a little more persecution or hints of it, but not like somebody in a Muslim country faces. Oh, we have words thrown back at us from time to time, but not like somebody in a communist country. We've got it easy, folks. And it's part of why I believe in our country so many people are going to run when they actually see what God is behind. They're going to say, oh, I've been in church all my life, but no, God's not in that. I'm going somewhere else. And that'll be their excuse. I pray it's nobody here. Who knows where things are going down the road, but what we do know is we need to increase in faith. We need to increase in faith. It doesn't matter who's the president, or who's the global leader, or who's what's going on with the pandemic, or any of those things. What matters is we increase our faith. That's what we're supposed to do above all else. Habakkuk prayed and then prayed again, Lord, why aren't you noticing? everything going on all around me. Why aren't you looking at this evil? Why does it seem to me like you're turning a blind eye on it, God? And God says, Habakkuk, I want you to tell the believers, check your faith. And I think that's what God wanted us to do this evening. Check your faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that you instill faith in the hearts of your children. Lord, it's our faith. It's something that we need to personalize, but it is from you. It is yours and been imputed unto us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you are in control, no matter what goes on around us. Thank you that you are a gracious and loving and merciful God, and that it seems to us you turn a blind eye sometimes because you're long-suffering. And that long-sufferingness is what you reached out to us in salvation with. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?